common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, again, this is like a couple of days in a row almost now that I've seen this Ben Shapiro. Now, I haven't seen him in forever. I knew him as some crank. But, you know, when I watch him now, he looks like a weasel on meth. But evidently he's claiming that he wasn't aware of a single major Republican figure that claimed Obama wasn't a legitimate president. Not one. He can't dream up even one person that he claims didn't say Obama was a legitimate president. Never mind Trump and the birtherism stuff. Never mind. Never mind that he wasn't born in the U.S. Never mind. Never mind. Ignore that. Never mind all of the hate radio that went on for the entire 8 years. Never mind any of that stuff. But, you know, he couldn't find anyone. Not a single person. Crazy, crazy stuff. But again, you know, it must be the drugs. Must be the drugs. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the news of the day and all of the, well, fun. I've asked our good friend Scott Dworkin to come talk with us. Scott is the host of the Dworkin Report, also the co-founder of the Democratic Coalition. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Rough day. You know, just another one of those days where so much going on.
Yeah, it's he said some pretty terrible stuff, and he's still mouthing off. I think one of the things that I just want to remind everybody of is when you look at his Twitter account, it is the biggest propaganda maker that's ever existed in world history. It's not him tweeting. And that, I think we need to get through that, the fact that it's his staff mixed with his family. That they're doing this intentionally to distract from every other scandal that's going on right now. And so people just need to be aware that, yeah, there's appalling things being said, but it's worse because it's planned. It's not him sitting on a toilet somewhere in the White House tweeting out garbage. It's him basically approving tweets that are drafted by his staff. It's not him tweeting. I don't even know. I don't believe that he actually knows how to tweet or use Twitter at all. There's no proof that exists anywhere that he does. And so I think people need to be aware when he spouts out this garbage and then he also says stuff in person, like he usually is giving keywords to hit on so that he can distract from another situation or pull away from another scandal. And so we just need to keep aware of that. But you know, you and I have said this forever. He's just going to get worse. Everyone, including all his staff, including everybody around him.
No, look, he's devolving right before our very eyes. Right. I mean, you know, right before our eyes, he's devolving.
Well, it's the real Trump. This is the real Donald. This is who he really is. And I think that's what you find out from every president. You start to see their true colors, no matter who they are, no matter how much they try and hide it. Eventually, everything starts to get revealed. They get too comfortable around the cameras. They get too used to everybody being around, and they get too used to getting away with everything. I think he thought that he could start to just ramble on and say anything about anything and push the envelope further and further. But there's breaking points that you can't take back, and he's starting to hit those. So good luck to any and all Republicans in 2019 in the fall and also in 2020, because they'll need it.
At least I'm hoping. I mean, because, you know, there are some positive signs. You know, I was just before we came on, I happened to see that in Arizona, for instance, retired astronaut Mark Kelly is now leading incumbent Senator Martha McSally, which, I mean, you know, picking up a Senate seat would be just huge.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona, Iowa, across the board, we'll also be targeting Kentucky and South Carolina with Graham and McConnell. One of the big things there is the more time that they spend in state, the more money they have to spend there, the more less money that they'll actually spend on other races. So even if it's a tough hill to climb, especially in South Carolina, you know, we've won in Kentucky statewide before. So I worked with Kentucky Democratic Party, I mean, back 13 years ago. So it's we have spaces throughout the country that we can take back the Senate. It's actually doable. And no one can tell me differently, because when we made tens of thousands of phone calls for Doug Jones and everybody said, that's not going to happen, and we got people out as a coalition, not just us, but a bunch of Democrats and people, got people out to vote, we won in Alabama. And obviously we had one of the worst Republican or any candidates that's ever existed in the face of the planet. So we need one of those, obviously. Luckily, McConnell and others are very unpopular, but we have a chance to win back the Senate, which we need to do to get to the truth of everything, and then also win back the White House and hold the House. I think the House right now, it's almost impossible for Republicans to win, even with cheating.
And I'm hoping. Look, because everything I'm looking at and all the stuff that I'm seeing, is. Republicans don't seem to be all that worried, because I think they believe they've got it all in the bag already.
Yeah, I wasn't worried in 2000 and when was that? 2010, in March of 2010. I wasn't worried at all, because healthcare, no big deal. And then they started with their messaging track of, I was like, yeah, we passed Obamacare. Like, this is going to be great. We're going to coast to this. And then they started bringing out just stacks of paper and throwing it around. They're like, I don't understand this. This is too complicated. La, la, la. And we got whooped. We got like slaughtered. I worked on one of the few races that we were able to hold that was a close reelect, which was in North Carolina. But it's not. This is reminding me of that. It's reminding me of that, where you get real pompous. You're in your little bubble. You think you know where it's going. You think that you know the polling well. You have no idea the repercussions of what you're doing right now. And this is different because it's negative and it's not helping anybody. There's nobody who's actually benefiting from this except for white supremacists and neo-Nazis and people that, shouldn't be in America in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guardedly optimistic. My problem is I've made the prediction that I think the only way Trump loses is if the economy tanks, and I'm not rooting for the economy to tank, but it's looking like you had Trump today coming out and say, well, a couple of month recession won't be bad, because evidently trade wars are no longer easy to win.
It's like impeachment won't be bad. Impeachment is the worst thing that could ever happen to him, and he knows it, and he knows that. Come Labor Day, I think that's what he's building towards here. He knows that we have people ready to rock out right after Labor Day. We have a lot of town halls coming up where members of Congress are going to announce their support for an impeachment inquiry. And that inquiry is going to shift into an impeachment very quickly. That's what I'm seeing on the ground in D.C., is that everyone's ready for that. And it doesn't matter what he says about it. Impeachment is the worst thing that's ever happened to him in his entire life, worse than Mueller, for sure. Mm-hmm. So he can try and act like, oh, no sweat. No, it's the worst thing that could ever happen to him. People don't, it's not even Obama under, Republican Senate and House control never even flirted with impeachment, because there were no impeachable offenses. Here we're dealing with thousands, I at least tens of thousands in my mind. Every kid that's been abused under the system, every lie that he's told, I believe all of those to be impeachable offenses.
But the question keeps coming back to, are Democrats going to actually get their stuff together and get there?
I've been planning for the last 2 weeks with our coalition and everybody else for 2020 and into 2019. And I usually do this a year and a half to 2 years out. I've never been more confident of how strong we are. I've never been more sure of how united we are as a whole. I've never been this optimistic about an upcoming election ever. And I've been involved. I've worked on over 1,000 campaigns in all 50 states, and I can tell you that this is not. We outnumber them by large numbers. We are more organized, more energetic. We have more to lose. There are more people that have been affected by everything that he's done. they don't have the numbers that they claim to have.
Yeah, and it seems like almost every day they're losing another constituency. I mean, I look at the farmers who really are taking it on the chin, especially the small family farmers who are taking a beating on this, and they were the most rabid Trump supporters of all. The money, from what I'm hearing, the money that they've allocated for these folks is mostly going to big agribusiness, to these big, you know, these big corporate farms instead of the little folks who really need it.
Yeah, I think the number that came out today or recently was $1,000 per family. It will cost American families $1,000 per family just for the tariffs on China, like just that alone.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Scott. I'm in favor of doing something on China, and we've had this conversation before.
Right.
My problem is that he's really boogered it up. This is not something you can go it alone on. This is not something you go toe-to-toe with China. This is something you build a global coalition around, and you have everybody hold them accountable, and he's just screwed this up. And my fear is, and maybe you can address this, my fear is that now everybody who's a Democrat or everyone who's not going to vote for Trump is going to be against the idea of ever using tariffs or of ever doing anything on the China currency manipulation front, and we're screwed for another two decades.
I think they might just, you know, reclassify it as sanctions or name it something else in order to impose, you know, penalties against a country that, you know, meddles in our election or does something that's negative towards us. I think the problem is I don't like this duct tape politics where he thinks that he can not just rubber band things where he yanks and pulls and tries to make it so that you're so delirious you don't know where you are anymore. And he does that online. He does it in person. And he tries to shake it and then be like, okay, I'm in control. Ha, ha, ha. Like, because he knows where the boundaries are. You can't do that in politics because if you can't be trusted, then people are going to look at that as a weakness. And they're going to also exploit that. And not only that, they are able to lie to you and get away with it. And so when you don't have that mutual trust, we're going to end up getting screwed in the long run no matter what. And you can't have this bully kind of attitude with these situations. It's not going to work. And even if he calls the country and says, hey, I'm going to be tweeting some stuff out. Don't worry about that. We'll give you these concessions for it, but I need to look good for the American people. I mean, that stuff happens. And so we need to be aware of, again, what he's really doing behind the scenes. What is he really accomplishing? And, you know, is he helping us? Is he hurting us? It just looks like small bits by bit, he is peeling away the fabric of America in every way that he possibly can. And it's, you know, you and I have said this for years now, he's just going to get worse.
Yeah.
And even the comments he made today, they were surprising to me. And I don't know why, but maybe it's because I don't accept the fact that this will never be normal to me. And so, like, I'm going to be appalled every time he says something disgusting.
Now, so what do you say to the his statement that Russia should be back in the G8? you know, because hey, the only reason that they're out is because Putin outsmarted Obama.
Yeah, okay. Putin never outsmarted Obama. He outsmarted Trump, that's for sure. And I'm not sure exactly who he's got compromat on or who he's got under a barrel, but right. That's insanity. That's like if you, after 9/11, he's like, you know, if Bush were to say, hey, you know, I know Osama bin Laden did this, but let's partner with them on our plane safety. Like, it literally is that. And it was our political 9/11, because look at what Trump's doing. Look at what the other Republicans who were elected in close states that should never have been elected. Look at the members of the House that were elected that pushed over the edge. I mean, there's a ripple effect across the country, and people are wondering, why do these people represent me? Well, if someone meddles in your election, it affects everything on every single level. It's not just the presidentials. So we've got a lot of things to worry about. And I think people need to recognize that it doesn't need to be a physical attack on our infrastructure. It doesn't need to be a physical terrorist attack, which obviously we're we should be more worried about white supremacists anyways. But it doesn't have to be that kind of physical attack to hurt us as bad or worse than a physical attack. Because this is how they get you, is they try to slowly bleed you out and try to ruin every piece. And right now, there's a lot of things that he's turning that you can't turn back once it starts rolling. And so when we see the economy start to get flustered here, I think you'll see him probably try and escape in some kind of way or place blame on somebody else and try and inflate the numbers, commit more fraud, lie to them.
Yeah, it's already the Democrats' fault. Don't you know? It's the fake news media, and it's the Democrats who are wishing for a recession. It's not the horrible policies that he's pursued. It's not all of the huge amounts of tax dollars that he's given away. In fact, on Sunday, as I started the show off with today, on Sunday, he claimed that Americans are loaded up with cash. Evidently, we're all flush with cash. He said, "I don't think we're going to have a recession. We're doing tremendously well. Our consumers are rich. I gave them tremendous tax cut." And they're loaded up with money. Are you loaded up with money? Did you get the $5,000 that Mike Pence said everybody got? Am I the only one who didn't get it?
No, I didn't get jack from any of these guys. No, I'm not in that top tier salary, whatever they've got there. I don't get the benefits of that or anything from Trump. I've never received any benefits. I don't think that a lot of people have, and most people don't. Most people live month to month. Most people don't have emergency cash for their family. Most people can barely afford their bills.
Wow, month to month. That's an improvement for a lot of people who I know are living week to week.
I guess I live a life of luxury with my month to month. So I think a lot of people are struggling, but they're so used to it and so resilient as Americans that not everybody complains about it, and not everybody – and a lot of people don't have voices, but luckily we have the internet, which has helped get a lot of those voices that may not have a chance to speak out against something. But I mean, like, you know, it's bad right now. They're not going to give flu shots to anybody that's been rounded up, any of the immigrants or refugees that have been detained. And they've already had 3 deaths of people from the flu. You know, and that's counterproductive in so many ways, because when you release them and they don't have a flu shot, like, it's just, it's nonsense. And on top of that, they did extend time that they could hold not only minors but everybody. It's like they're going to look at every single facet. I mean, they're rolling back just workers' rights in every little piece that they can. They're rolling back women's rights to, you know, before the 1980s now. Like, everything is starting to roll back. The good news is we are going to have the biggest peaceful progressive revolution because of this. It will snap back, and I will sit there and laugh at them when they cry when we pass the most progressive and bills that have ever existed in the history of this country, because when they refuse to negotiate, I will never forget that, and I will have zero mercy on any of them.
And I hope you're right.
I can tell you that if Democrats have control of the Senate and the White House, then the resistance is in charge. It's not this whatever corporate made up greed. Like, a bulk of this country is now the resistance, and that's how it is. It's peaceful resistors that have had enough, and there's millions of us across the country in all states and every city for the most part across the country. And we're not going to take this anymore. We've learned from our experiences, from our, you know, dozens of boycotts that have been highly effective against this administration, and the millions of phone calls that we've made, not only for bills, but I mean to save Obamacare and other things like that. All of that has just prepared us for now. People wonder, well, what happens next? It's not about Donald. It's not about that. We are going to have the biggest impeachment push yet coming up here in the next few weeks. But it's about McConnell. It's about the senators. It's about keeping the House accountable, in regards to the Republican side of things, them spouting off propaganda and doing accomplishing nothing on the Republican caucus. But focusing on that Senate, because that Senate has accomplished nothing, and they're leading to Americans' deaths at this point because they refuse to do anything on gun safety and reform. They refuse to do anything in regards to our health care. They refuse to accomplish anything except negative things that help other countries that are our adversaries and their wallets, you know.
And their wallets. The important part is their wallets. Because, you know, I remember Inauguration Day saying, this is going to be the greatest kleptocracy in history. It's going to be the greatest bank heist ever. And so far it's been. I mean, every time you turn around, we're getting screwed. And the coffers are being filled of Trump and his clowns.
Yeah, it's like a kekistocracy. I can't remember what kekistocracy. Anyways, it doesn't matter. It's a country run by stupid people or government. And so, like, I can't remember what the word is, but that's what it is. I mean, at this point, if you support him, you are racist. If you support Trump right now, you are racist. You're a bigot. You are hateful. And you're un-American. You are the traitor. And that's where we're at. It's no longer acceptable. I don't feel bad for anyone getting booed out of restaurants because they are working for a monster and they're an accomplice to it all. I don't feel bad for any Republicans that feel uncomfortable, you know, when there's thousands of resistors around their stupid Nazi rallies. I don't care about a lot of that stuff. And there's tipping points where there's a lot of people in this country that have nothing to do with this resistance, but he needs to be careful about stoking fires on either side, far left or far right.
Yeah.
It just brings on, obviously, a lot of the different movements across the country don't represent the resistance, especially if it's violent in any way or destructive in any way, with property or otherwise, any kind of assaults or anything. That's not anything that we stand for. But we're in a world of hurt, and there's a lot of people that are dying because of what they're doing and struggling at a level where they can't recover, and they're becoming desperate. And so, like, what happens then is you turn to crime a lot of times, and it's just a circle, and the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, and that divide is just stacking up, and it's kind of like this delusion of, I call it the lottery delusion of, like, well, you know, when I am rich, when I have those millions of dollars, I'll want to not be taxed that much.
Wishing and hoping. Yeah, no, absolutely. I know lots of people who have the lotto pension that, you know, they're going to retire once they win, but the job they have doesn't provide any pension fund. There's no defined benefit. There's none of that. But they know one day they're going to hit the big one, and then they can retire.
Yeah, my grandma used to say that. I was like 9 or 10, and I would walk to the corner store and buy her cigarettes. I don't know how that was possible.
That was a different era. You could get away with it then.
Yeah. You know, I didn't even.
Because the corner store knew your grandmother.
Right. Exactly. I think it was a gas station. Doesn't matter. It was Ohio. And she would always get the same lotto ticket numbers or whatever, and I don't think she won in like 40 years. And it's the same person where I don't even think if she was a millionaire, she would have lived the same life with her little headphones and her little handheld big box TV that would sit on her lap and smoke her cigarette. Like, it would be the same thing over and over again on repeat anyway. So I don't know exactly. A lot of people who even if they attain wealth, like, they're simple like me, where you don't need a lot of stuff. You don't need all this, like, luxury, and I'm going to go on a golf course. Like, we don't need all that stuff. We just want to live healthy and safe lives.
So, was that Donald Trump or was that Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I don't know. I can't do a Trump impression anymore because I used to do a good one, but maybe it's a mix of both. That's kind of like Trump after he's eaten at a buffet.
All right, there you go. Now, there's an image. Thanks for that.
I apologize.
So let me ask you a last line of questioning. You know, because here's the thing. I mean, we've been talking about Trump. We've been talking about what the Republicans are doing. What we haven't been doing is we haven't talked about what the Democrats are going to do. I mean, he has sucked basically all the air out of the room, and we're not talking about the candidates. We're not talking about their plans. How do you break through that?
That's okay. We've got time, right, before the world burns, I guess. So we've got a plan.
So you're the new Elizabeth Warren then? Got a plan for that?
We have a plan for all of it. I have a plan. You know, we have a plan if we're attacked by aliens. We have a plan for everything. No, I think that the important thing is, you know, what I've learned is you can do a skeleton kind of plan between now and 2020 and between now and the next 3 months and the next month and the next week. If you go further than that, then you're making a big mistake, because you need to be able to also move quick and adjust and change your priorities very quickly. So you got to have everything prepared on different topics, different issues. But in the big strategic part of things, I think people will need to focus on, and you'll see in my Twitter feed and elsewhere, that impeachment has not been talked about like much this week, and it won't be, you know, for another couple of days. And then next week, then leading in the few weeks up to after Labor Day, you'll see it accelerate to a part where you haven't seen it before. You know, we're going to, the Democrats that aren't on board yet will be all individually held accountable and called out for what, you know, their support, if they haven't supported by after Labor Day. And we're doing a timeline that's reasonable, that, you know, we understand there's a lot of things going on. I started the first impeachment campaign that existed, and I would want him out before anybody in the world would want him out.
Yeah. So even if we impeach him the day before the election, or even the day after, that's okay with you?
The day that might be a little late. I think I can see the finish line in regards to the start of impeachment. I can see exactly where we're at, and I can see us, we're there. We're on the trajectory. We just need to keep up the hard work and the phone calls and the pressure and showing up and protesting and showing up in town halls and making our voices heard at a constant online and every avenue that we possibly can. I think that the key that we need to focus on is, again, making sure that it's clear that we don't accept this. This is never going to be normal to us, and it's outrageous every single time he does something. And any elected leaders or any elected official whatsoever, whether it's local, state level, or federal, then they need to be held accountable if they don't not only condemn but disown Trump. And you know, call him out. And I'm not talking about Scaramucci fake politics kind of stuff. I'm talking about where they say things that they can't take back, like he should be removed from office, he should resign or be impeached. You know, that everything else is just garbage. Everything else can be pre-planned nonsense behind the scenes to distract from everything else, no matter what's said.
Yep, and all about the money. I was waiting for the Mooch to come out with a book deal, but we'll see. But Scott, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you, and I can't wait to see this timeline that you're envisioning. I can't wait to see that coming forward.
It'll be implemented starting next week. And again, we're moving as quickly as we can. I'm also just being reasonable, and also I understand the timeline and the constraints and the reality. So I look at, you know, I want this to move as fast as possible, and we are moving it as fast as we possibly can. But every single one of these members of Congress, it is not easy to get people to commit to this, and a lot of them decide on their own when they'll do it. And so it's not like we're coordinating or anything like that. But we are pressuring them as much as possible in person and elsewhere. But it's just a long road, and it's, you know, I've done this before. We did this before with healthcare. We've done this before a lot. I've never been this sure of something moving forward. I would say, again, after Labor Day, like, is the public start of an impeachment trial. which is much different than, you know, looking at whether or not we should impeach him. But I think you'll start to see things move forward. And also keep in mind that we have tons of whistleblowers who have already come forward to spout off about different crimes that have been committed in the Trump administration that we never knew about before. And there's tons of different investigations ongoing 7 days a week while he's on the golf course at a constant. The FBI is still investigating. The House and the Senate Russia probes are still open. The FBI is still investigating Trump's Russian connections. There's so lots going on.
And obviously, hopefully lots to move forward on. But Scott, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
You did it, brother.
Good stuff. Our good friend Scott Dworkin. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Funder, also the Democratic Coalition. And take a look at, listen to his podcast, The Dworkin Report. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.